What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning on Too Jewish is the wonderful singer-songwriter Neshama Carlbach. We'll also have visits from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, our Too Jewish Mavina on Israel, Oshrat Barel, and our maven on Jewish education, John Ben Asher. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom and Chag Sameach, a happy holiday of Sukkot. As we Jews also say, Moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason. May you have festivals of joy and holidays of celebration. Sukkot is the great festival of thanksgiving, gratitude, and guests, and I hope you took time this week to sit in a sukkah, do the blessings for lulav and etrog, and thank God for the beautiful natural world and the lovely fall weather that we are blessed to inhabit and enjoy. This is Zman Simchatenu, the season of our joy, and I certainly hope you enjoyed life this week. On Sukkot, we eat, drink, invite friends to sukkahs, and give thanks to God for what we have and enjoy. There's a lovely little Yiddish tune about the sukkah called Asukkele, by the oddly named Suki and Ding.
Asukkele, a kleine, vom Breitalach gemeine, hab ich mir Asukkele gemacht, bedeckte mit a bissel es kann sitz ich mir in sikkele bana badekte mit da mit a bissel es kann sitz ich mir in sikkele bana. Doch die Spalten in die lächterlich sei löschen sich viel. Es ist mir achidisch, wie ich mach mir kidisch. In die lächterlich sei brennen ganz still. Es ist mir achidisch, wie ich mach mir kidisch. In die Lächterle, sei brennen ganz still.
That was a pretty song, a sukkele, for the holiday of Bus this past week, and we have a lot about music today. Even at this time of celebration, we can still have serious thoughts, though. Yesterday in Temple, we chanted the great book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, from the final part of the Hebrew Bible, traditionally chanted on the Shabbat, the Sabbath of Sukkot. And if you don't recall this classic Bird's version of Pete Seeger's setting for this biblical text, quoted way back in 1965, well, you're missing something great.
A time to heal, a time to
It seems to me that song has been used to typify the mid-60s in a ton of movies, including Forrest Gump, and I've heard that it's the pop song with the earliest text ever, having taken that passage from Kohelet, a around 2,300-year-old book. Although, according to Jewish tradition, King Solomon wrote the Book of Ecclesiastes closer to 3,000 years ago. If it was Solomon who wrote it, by the way, I wonder where did they send the royalty checks for the song? Of course, he was royalty. Never mind. Anyway, tomorrow we conclude this long fall Jewish festival season and put the extreme holiday experience of Judaism behind us. But before that happens, I must note that tomorrow it will be Shmini Atzeret, the festival of the eighth day of assembly for Sukkot. We say Yisker, it's an independent holiday, when we also chant the blessings for rain, Geshem. Tomorrow night will be Simchat Torah, the celebration of Torah, the fabulous festival when we complete reading the Torah and begin again from Bereishit, Genesis. Before we leave this endless Jewish fall festival season in our rearview mirror, I have one personal favorite anecdote to share. It's about Simchas Torah, Simchat Torah. The genesis of this particular story goes back to when I was living in Jerusalem as a rabbinic student. Having grown up knowing that Simchat Torah was a wide-open, fun festival, on the night of Simchat Torah, I and a couple of rabbinic school friends went looking for a party, dancing with the Torah's loud singing and a couple of schnapses to celebrate. What we discovered is that's not the way Jerusalemites celebrate Simchat Torah. We wandered the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem in search of revelry, found a couple of decent Torah readings, plenty of stately hakafot, Torah processionals, but no real parties, and so decided to try the ultra-Orthodox area of Mea Shearim. Again, no real parties, no Jews dancing in the streets, none of the festivities we associate with Simchat Torah here in America. Finally, having brought along a bottle or two of Arak, we decided to create our own Simchas Torah celebration on the street. A group of us started singing and dancing in the middle of a quiet intersection at the entrance to Mea Shearim. We worked up enough enthusiasm to attract a group of younger Orthodox Jews willing to come dance with the Meshuggah American revelers, singing Hoshia et Amecha, Kihem Chayenu, any other Torah songs we could think of. We had finally succeeded in having a good time when we heard a plop on the pavement near us, then another, and then another. Finally, we realized the neighbors living nearby in Mea Shearim were pelting us with fruit. They were throwing their leftover etrogim, the citrons from the holiday of Sukkot, that they didn't need anymore now that it was Simchas Torah. Only in Jerusalem can you be pelted with etrogim. Well, for a last add on our fall celebrations and Simchat Torah, here's the song Shalom Rav Le'ohavei Toratecha, great peace of all of those who love the Torah, from our house rock band, Avanim.
Shalom Rav Le'ohavei Toratecha, Shalom Rav, Shalom Rav Le'eim Amo, Le'eim Amo,
That was Avanim playing Shalom Rav Le'ohavei Toratecha. Our guest this morning on Too Jewish is the wonderful singer-songwriter Neshama Karlbach. She'll be performing at Temple Emmanuel this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. in our Shabbat service and in full concert with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir at the Fox Theater this Saturday night at 7 p.m. Call 327-4501 for tickets or go to the Fox Theater's website. And don't miss Neshama Karlbach here in Tucson and here on Too Jewish when we return in a moment.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
Well, Carol, to be honest, now that I'm a little older, I can't get out as much as I'd like. I miss seeing people.
Why don't you come over to my place for lunch on us? The food's delicious. So many choices. And I have a special table with my friends every day. They'd love to have you join us.
Is there much to do there?
There are lots of activities every day. Mondays is Mahjong. Tuesdays, I do yoga. Wednesdays, we go shopping or to the museum or a restaurant. Thursdays, my exercise class. There are book groups, speakers, Shabbos services, concerts, a game room. I'm busier than ever.
Where do you live?
I'm at Handmaker.
And the people are great. Please come over for lunch. You'll love it. It's even kosher. Just call me at 322-7035.
Handmaker Jewish Services for the Aging offers the full spectrum of quality senior living and post-hospital rehabilitative care. Call 322-7035. Handmaker for life. 322-7035.
It's everything you wanted to know about Judaism but were afraid to ask. Temple Emmanuel's Taste of Judaism program is now in its 17th year and explores Judaism in 3 2-hour sessions on Jewish spirituality, values, and community. This free introductory class taught by our rabbis is immensely popular throughout Southern Arizona. 6,000 students have enjoyed Taste to date, and you can too. In partnership with the Tucson Hebrew Academy, Taste of Judaism brings to life Jewish culture, history, rituals, and practice. It'll help you rediscover your roots or simply satisfy your curiosity about Judaism. Classes are free and open to all and include Jewish snacks. We have daytime and evening classes in Central, Northwest, and East Tucson, and this year at Splendido as well. The whole family can learn at the Taste of Judaism family class, starting soon. It's free with no fees or obligations, but space is limited and pre-registration is required. Call Mila at 327-4501 or email Mila, M-I-L-A, at tetucson.org. That's Taste of Judaism, 520-327-4501.
We are delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning, Neshama Karlbach, a past guest of Two Jewish and always a delight. She's a leading superstar in Jewish music and Jewish entertainment, continuing the legacy of her extraordinary father, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach of blessed memory. She has talent, charisma, and a wonderful creativity, and works with a wide variety of interesting musical groups, particularly with gospel groups lately. Good morning and welcome back to Two Jewish.
Oh, good morning. That's a nice intro.
Well, thanks. Now you're done. You don't have to say anything more. We're good.
Oh, great. That's perfect. I have nothing to say anyway. We're good.
I doubt that so strongly.
It's true. I am Jewish, after all.
Absolutely.
Pull it out.
So, we've talked a little bit in the past about your collaborations, but tell me kind of philosophically what you think about musical collaborations, because sometimes they have wonderful results. Sometimes they're not so great. You know, it's complicated, isn't it?
I think life is complicated, and I don't believe that anything worthwhile is easy. And I think collaborations are magical things. I think that I am stronger and more inspired when I'm working with brilliant people, and I've had the gift and the privilege of working with incredible people. And in general, I think there's always good things to be found with every relationship in life. And so, we could always focus on the negative if we need to, but personally, in my career, in my life, I feel really blessed by all the relationships and collaborations that have come in and out of it. It's all great gifts for me.
You've worked, particularly when you're going to be here in Tucson, you're working with a gospel group. That is not how you grew up. Tell us about how that collaboration evolved.
So I grew up pretty Jewish. And
just kind of Jewish, or
kind of Jewish, really Jewish. I don't know. I went to yeshiva, where it was a girls' yeshiva to boot, and even though I got to travel a great deal and I had this very cosmopolitan life with my father, and he always was, he was the lover of all humanity, and definitely met a lot of different people from different worlds. My personal world was very Jewish. And my career, focusing on my father's work, was also very much based in the Jewish world. And then I was privileged to be hired to do a Martin Luther King event and was exposed to this incredible choir. And the truth is, it was never, it was just never something I had done. I was kind of excited, kind of nervous. And I get to their church for the rehearsal, and really, I am so Jewish, I think I had never really been in a church. So I was like, oh my God, where is the lightning? You know, it never came, by the way, just for all of you.
Well, that's good.
Do that there. Yeah. Thank you. And I walked in the door and was greeted with my father's song, L'mana Chai V'Re'ai, being sung in the rehearsal. Because of my brothers and friends. And then I looked around, and the walls were covered with Magen David's and Jewish prayer books on the shelves. And I walked into the church, and it was like all the plays, like, here sits Rebbetzin Goldwasser, was still in the pew. And I walked in, and it was a wild spiritual experience. I started to cry. I was like, wow, I just found a family. I didn't walk into a world that was not mine. I walked into I walked into family, and I said, "Well, that's my dad's song." They're like, "Your dad wrote that?" They had no idea.
They didn't know.
I mean, they didn't know it was a Jewish song. They just thought it was a precious song. And so we collaborated, and then the next year we collaborated again, and then it was very organic. People said, "Oh, I heard you're working with a gospel choir. Please come." And then we created a record together, and it was a very beautiful coming together, a very organic collaboration that was, it was encouraged by the universe and by the public. And at this point, I had been on the road with these same people for probably been near 9 years, and we made the Grammy Awards in 2011, which was kind of cool and weird. And I've taken off a fair amount of time. I got divorced in 2012. And my world has changed quite a bit since that time. And now my divorce is finally over. And I am so proud and thrilled to say that there is absolute peace with our entire family, for my children. It's like, I don't know how much I want to talk about it in general because it's sensitive, but I feel very positive and optimistic having gone from such a tumultuous moment in my life to going to such peace that I want to encourage people to never give up searching for that. But anyway, that's another conversation.
No, it's a great conversation. But
it's a great conversation, and now I'm going back to my work and excited to be coming back to Tucson with these extraordinary singers and my band, and life is beautiful and bright.
And maybe the continuity and all of that is music, and we will continue to discuss music and actually Broadway and a lot of other things with Neshama Carlbach when we come back in a few moments here on Too Jewish.
We welcome our friends from Freedom of Smoke, David and Pamela. You guys focus so much on your customers. Tell us why they're so important to you.
Our customers are extremely important to us. It's why we built this company. Our job is to get people to quit smoking, and we're extremely good at it. You can come in a very nice, comfortable lounge environment, try anything you want to try. You'll have knowledgeable and helpful staff that will be happy to get you or your family and loved ones to quit smoking.
We have 4 locations in Tucson, 1 in Catalina on the Pinal border, and our latest store has just opened in Sierra Vista.
And these are all lounges, sort of a comfortable environment for people to come in.
Yes, they're set up with couches and pool tables, pinball machines, video games, anything to help you along with your time.
What's the best way for people to find out more information?
They can go onto our website at freedomsmokeusa.com or call our toll-free hotline for any information that you want, 1-800-705-7013.
And that number again is?
1-800-705-7013.
Thanks so much.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at toojewishradio18@gmail.com. That's toojewishradio18@gmail. Or visit our website at toojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website, streaming us from there or downloading us from the Apple iTunes Store's very popular Jewish podcasts. We're on the home stretch, finally. Just a couple of weeks to go until we elect a new president of these United States, and we continue our 2016 Two Jewish Presidential Report. The best part of the wretched third presidential debate was the moderator, Chris Wallace of Fox News, who is Jewish. He did his level best to keep that mess under control, showing insight, asking tough questions, following up, trying respectfully to keep Donald Trump from butting in all the time, trying to get Hillary Clinton to finish her answers when her time was up. Chris Wallace made his late father, 60 Minutes star Mike Wallace, proud. It had to be one of the single hardest jobs in media, and he did a great job in a very, very messy spot. Mazel tov to Chris Wallace. I think I might vote for him, but why is a Jewish guy named Chris? That was our 2016 presidential election from a Jewish perspective update. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
And welcome back from your most recent trip, which took you to Yom Kippur in Thessaloniki, Greece, a great Jewish community, historically speaking.
Right. So actually, I began the trip with Rosh Hashanah with my family in suburban Washington, D.C., and then did a whole tour of the Balkans. And the second to last stop was Thessaloniki, where I spent Yom Kippur with very old Jewish friends. Now, how and why do I have Jewish friends in Thessaloniki?
That's a fine question.
All right. So, you may or may not recall, your listeners are extremely unlikely to recall, that I once served as the Minister of Education and Culture of the World Union of Jewish Students, which is a London-based organization. And I spent a lot of time in that capacity in various Jewish communities in the Balkans. And my very first visit to Thessaloniki was like 1975, a million years ago, when I attended the engagement party of two people I knew in the apartment of the bride-to-be's parents. And one of the things that so impressed me about Thessaloniki at the time was not only were the Jews remarkably cultured and multilingual and well-off, but they could afford to hire servants who passed the drinks and took your coats and whatever, who were all at least trilingual in English, French, and Greek. So, you know, try doing that in any major city in the U.S., even New York City.
I'm not sure you can get monolingual people sometimes in the United States.
Right. So what's interesting about the Jewish community in Thessaloniki? Well, there's a number of things. First of all, it's the only major city in Europe where for about 400 years anyway, more than 400 years, Jews were the largest single population group. They weren't a majority. They didn't have 51% of the population, but they had about 35%. And the other groups, Greeks, Turks, Armenians, Albanians, Macedonians, Bulgarians, et cetera, were all smaller minorities. So the lingua franca and the language used in the marketplace and the language used for commerce was Ladino. And everybody spoke it, whether they were Jewish or not.
And by the way, people may not know Thessaloniki is Salonika. It's the same place, just the Greek.
Sort of the natural capital of the Balkans because of geographic factors and river valleys, and it's a great port. And from the center of town, you can see Mount Olympus in the distance. It's an amazing place.
It is.
Which at one time had probably a quarter of a million Jews. Now has, you know, 1% of that number, most of them having perished in Auschwitz. But it's still a thriving Jewish community, and it has great archives and great Jewish history museum and whatever. And the main functioning synagogue was actually built long ago by Jews who settled from Bitola, which in Greek is Monastir. It's a city in modern Macedonia, or actually the Greeks insist on calling the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. but it was another Turkish provincial capital, just like Thessaloniki. The difference being that Thessaloniki was never that provincial for the Turks, in part because Ataturk was born there, and the home in which he was born is now the Turkish consulate. Anyway, the community is thriving, and there are representatives from other Jewish communities in Greece who follow their own traditions, and I'll talk in more detail next week about the exact content and format of how Yom Kippur is celebrated there.
Thank you, Tom. Fascinating place. We will continue this next week.
I look forward to it.
Chag Sameach.
And to you.
We welcome one of our Shin Shinim, representatives of Israel here in America for the Weintraub Israel Center, and teaching about Israel in our community in a wonderful way, Leah Avunu, who's going to tell us about holidays. First of all, Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, Rabbi.
You're very welcome. We're in the midst of the holiday season, really now the tail end almost, Simchat Torah, quite soon. These are the holidays that all Jews celebrate, or we think that all Jews celebrate, but there are some other holidays that many Jews here don't know about, and I understand even Israeli Jews don't know about them.
Yes, even Israelis don't know about them.
So tell us about Sigd and everything that you can about how it came about and what it means.
So the Sigd, we celebrated at Kaftet B'Cheshvan, 50 days after Yom Kippur. It's actually a tradition that started in Ethiopia. We went to the highest mountain in the village, and we were all white, just like Yom Kippur.
So dressed fully white.
Yeah, fully white. We took the Torah, we took all the Sidurim, everything, and we went to the highest mountain to be physically closer to God. We took this tradition actually from Ezra ben Nehemiah, and it's been this like for thousands of years, and we pray to come to Zion, and it's like, how do you say lechadesh?
To make new, to renew.
Yeah, to renew the connection with God and with ourselves and with our Jewish identity, because we were so isolated and so separate from the rest of the Jewish people. So we used to do that. And in Israel, we still do it in Armon HaNativ. So we have the view of Har HaBayit. And
so the view of the Temple Mount.
Yes, and it actually became a very big festival, and a lot of people that actually it's for everybody, so it's not just for Ethiopians. So if you ever in Israel in the Sigd, come visit. It's very beautiful.
And we're going to be celebrating Sigd here in Tucson.
Yes.
Although obviously it's 50 days after Yom Kippur, so it's another 40 days almost from now. But it's really a wonderful celebration. So the idea of dressing in white, going to a mountaintop, fasting, it sounds just like Yom Kippur.
Yes, it is just like Yom Kippur.
But then there's a celebration afterwards.
Right. After that, we celebrate big time with dabo. Dabo, this is the traditional bread. It's just like challah. And it's like dancing, the traditional dances.
Dances, yeah, of course.
And the food and everything is just like one of the...
There's music too, I assume,
yeah,
afterwards,
yeah, a lot of
right?
music. And one of the reasons we celebrate is that everybody's coming together in the Sigd, because it's just like everybody's separate and then everyone's... All the Jewish people come together. So that's another reason we celebrate. So it's very fun.
And we know, frankly, as Jews, we need more holidays. I mean...
Yeah, we need more food.
Especially after Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Leah. We'll talk
Thank
soon.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We welcome our maven on Jewish education, John Ben Asher, headmaster of the Tucson Hebrew Academy. Chag Sameach, John.
Good morning. Chag Sameach.
It's a great time of year, time of celebrations. Sukkot is man,
right.
Simchat Tenu, season of our joy. Simchat Torah is coming.
Right.
Joy, right? Fun.
Yes. We've been through reflection and self-analysis and looking to do better and be better. And now
and
it's kind of party time.
Yeah, totally.
And so this is a nice way to kind of wrap up these very intense and heavy days in just joy and celebration, celebrating the Torah, celebrating who we are as people. The dancing and the joyousness is palpable. And it's great to finish these holidays on this happy note. You know, a few weeks back, you and I were dialoguing about joy and positivity. And so we go through this very intense cycle, and then we upswing into this place of joy and gratitude. And it's a great way to close out.
It's fascinating. The idea is in order to achieve, in order to reach that joy, you have to go through all of the self-analysis, the apologies,
right.
The freeing yourself of everything.
You got to go through the desert to get to the promised land.
There we go. When you celebrate Simchat Torah in a Jewish day school environment, mm-hmm. a religious school, you know, synagogue, we march with flags, we march
right,
with Torahs,
right.
we dance, we sing, we read Torah.
Those moments of kind of unbridled joy.
Lots of fun. And I remember them as a kid and remember how crazy they could be. I remember getting in trouble, of course, also.
Oh, let's get into
it's
that
amazing
for our next
what you could do. Look, apples, let's go put that somewhere. Besides the just kind of openness, and that's part of the fun of it in Simchat mm-hmm. Torah, is the rules are off, you can now relax. It's not Purim, but
right.
it's really fun after all the serious time. In school, you still have to be in school, don't you?
Well, there's school around those days, but of course, during the Chagim themselves,
right,
we're closed. But what are we doing? So we have that great opportunity to be in that space of joy and appreciation. And so the gratitude just flows. And, you know, we're dancing. We're putting kids in chairs and hoisting them up in the air. We're drawing pictures. We're decorating flags. We're, you know, maybe dressing up in colors and things like that. So there's all kinds of ways that we celebrate together.
And the Torah, you connect kids to Torah, right? I mean, that's probably the core of every Jewish school.
Absolutely.
It should be.
Absolutely.
Is there something different about the way you do it around Simchat Torah?
Yeah, because this is that moment where we really are in a space of gratefulness and gratitude to have this incredible gift as a people. And so it's that time to just really be appreciating, and it's more honey than apple, if you will. And so we've got that time to just say, hey, this is awesome. This is good. We're so blessed to have this gift, and we love this gift and embrace this gift. And this gift has taught us so much about who we are through the generations. Let's open it up. Let's read a little bit of it. You know, let's see where we are this week. And so there's that sense of that value of Torah and what a gift it is to the Jewish people.
It is indeed. John, thanks so much. Zman Simchatenu in this season of joy. Moadim L'Simcha. Celebrate.
Toda lecha. Thank you for your blessings, Rabbi.
My pleasure. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear the old Jewish joke of the week.
Is your aging loved one unhappy and having a hard time adjusting to life around them? The TMC Jarrow Psychiatric Center at Handmaker may be able to help. TMC Jarrow Psych specializes in providing short-term inpatient services for older adults experiencing behavioral health issues. Did you know that most people with depression get better when they seek help? With the right treatment, those with anxiety can overcome and learn to cope with their fears, and individuals with dementia can continue leading quality lives. Our team, led by a geriatric psychiatrist, brings expertise from disciplines across a variety of specialties to ensure your loved one receives the right diagnosis and treatment. For more information about our services, please call 324-4600. The TMC Jarrow Psychiatric Center at Handmaker. Call 324-4600. Let's talk about how we can help.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week, Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie New, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Abe and Isaac are eating at the kosher cafe. At the end of the meal, the waiter comes over and says, "Okay, gentlemen, tea or coffee for you?" "I'll have a glass hot tea," replies Abe. "Me too," says Isaac, "and make sure the glass is clean." The waiter returns shortly with two hot teas on his tray. He says, "Okay, so who asked for the clean glass?" That was a classic old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well and only have clean glasses. And now a word of Torah. This week we celebrate Simchat Torah tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. in my own Temple Emmanuel here in Tucson, Arizona, by the way. Simchat Torah is the wonderful festival when we complete reading the Torah and start all over again at the very beginning. A very good place to start. Breishit, the first Torah portion of the year, presents a unique challenge for every commentator. There is so much you could say. Where do you start? Which is precisely the point. For Genesis is the beginning not only of the Torah, but of Judaism, and all Western religion, Christianity and Islam included. It starts with the great theological creation of Breishit, and the immortal, eternal words, Breishit bara Elohim. At the beginning, God created. Those words are instantly recognizable, more famous than nearly all phrases in religious literature. But this celebrated commencement is actually a problem. In Hebrew, the word Breishit means at the beginning of, in a grammatical form called smichut, attached. It has to be followed by a noun, always. Yet here, at the very start of the beginning of the holiest and most ancient text in our tradition, it's followed instead by a verb, bara, created. That is, the first two words of the Torah don't grammatically agree. There's an error in the absolute first place it could occur in the whole Bible, which of course is not only our Bible, but the first text for Christianity, Islam, all of Western civilization. What might this mistaken phrase mean? Commentators have engaged this question throughout history. Maybe it means at the beginning of time God created, or at the beginning of God's creation of the universe God created, or perhaps at the beginning of the world God created. You can come up with your own fix for this grammatical problem.
So why don't we just correct it in the Torah? All traditional associations aside, I mean, we've had this text unchanged for over 2,000 years, as the Dead Sea Scrolls prove. There is a simple explanation that opens up the whole process of studying Torah and being an active Jew in a wonderful way. You see, if the very first words of Genesis require us to think and interact with text, every passage of Torah must therefore be open to interpretation. That means we instantly become partners with God in the creation of Torah in every generation. Each of us must create her or his own understanding of Torah, must make it meaningful to him or herself. Every one of us has to insert ourselves into this incredible book and find our own way. In the spaces between the words, each of us must create our own midrash, our own interpretation of Judaism that will bring meaning to our lives. It's a remarkable invitation. Bereshit bara Elohim, at the beginning of Torah, God created the process of midrash and invited us as partners to think, learn, teach, and embrace our Judaism. That's really what the word Torah means, interactive learning. Finding God through using the fine minds we've been given to explore what a great text can mean. Our Jewish poetry slam this morning comes from the story of Adam and Eve in this week's portion in the famous Chapter 2, The Garden of Eden, by poet Stanley Barkun. Oh, to be Adam again, with all his ribs yearning for a woman as yet unborn. Mouth free of the taste of apples, ears without the hiss of snakes. Mindless of nakedness and shame in the garden of gentle creatures, waiting for a name. Wonderful poem, As Yet Unborn, by Stanley Barkun. When we return in a moment here on Too Jewish, our guest, Neshama Karlbach, will explain what makes her music both a tribute to her famous father, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach of blessed memory, and uniquely her own. Find out when we return right here on Too Jewish in just a moment.
My name is John Ben Asher, and I'm the head of school at the Tucson Hebrew Academy. Tucson Hebrew Academy is a pluralistic kindergarten through eighth grade Jewish day school. We foster educational excellence through an interdisciplinary, integrated general studies and Judaic curriculum. We teach our students to apply Jewish values and learning to everyday life, enabling them to make their community and the world a better place. Our engaging, talented faculty ensure a rigorous, interactive, supportive learning environment. From the early years through comprehensive high school prep, children thrive in THA's uniquely enriching educational community and culture. Our 41-year tradition of excellence continues to produce highly skilled, critical, and creative thinking students with a strong moral compass and deep understanding of Jewish identity, traditions, and values, well prepared for the challenges to come. Tucson Hebrew Academy, thaaz.org, 529-3888.
We continue with our Too Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
Marine Le Pen, the leader of France's far-right National Front Party, vowed that if she's elected the country's president, she would ban all public displays of religious symbols and clothing, including kippot. Le Pen heads the third-largest party in France and will seek the country's presidency in 2017. She wants to broaden an existing law, the headscarf ban, which doesn't allow conspicuous displays of religious symbols in public schools or other public areas. Marine Le Pen called the ban a struggle against radical Islam, but added that Jewish and Christian symbols have to be included in the name of equality and the national interest. I know it is a sacrifice, but I think the situation is terrible these days. I know that every French person, including French Jews, can understand that if we ask for this sacrifice from them in the battle against the advance of Islamic extremism, they will make this effort and understand it, she said. Mexico has fired its ambassador to UNESCO, Andre Romer, who is Jewish, for protesting his country's decision to initially vote for a resolution denying the Jewish ties to Jerusalem. For not having informed diligently and with meticulousness of the context in which the voting process occurred, for reporting to representatives of countries other than Mexico about the sense of his vote, and for making public documents and official correspondence subject to secrecy, he was fired, read the official statement. But Mexico also announced it will now change its vote from in favor to abstain on the proposal denying the Jewish relationship to the Kotel, the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, and all of Eastern Jerusalem. Changing the vote reiterates the recognition that the government of Mexico gives to the undeniable link of the Jewish people to cultural heritage located in East Jerusalem. It also reflects the deep appreciation this government has for the Jewish community, and in particular for their significant contributions to the welfare and economic, social, and cultural development of Mexico, the Mexican government statement also said. And so, for the first time since 2010, Mexico will not support a proposal by the Palestinian Arab bloc in UNESCO, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization that is also deeply anti-Israel. Sadly, the ambassador to UNESCO was sacrificed, but it meant a change to the perennial tradition of following the vote of the Latin American bloc, which passed an absurd and biased resolution, wrote Jewish Mexican news portal Enlace Judío. American singer-songwriter Bob Dylan has not been in contact with the Swedish Academy since it awarded him the Nobel Prize for Literature last week. Dylan has made no public statements about the honor. Sarah Danius, permanent secretary of the Swedish Academy, said the Academy has been in contact with an associate of Dylan, but not Dylan himself. It is not known whether Bob Dylan will attend the awards ceremony with the other Nobel laureates in Stockholm on December 10th. Dylan and his band played a concert in Vegas hours after the Nobel Prize announcement on October 13th and did not mention the honor. Last week, he performed a desert trip, the giant classic rock festival in Indio, California, and he also didn't mention the Nobel Prize. Dylan, who is 75 years old, is recognized for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition, the Swedish Academy, which is responsible for choosing Nobel laureates in literature, announced last week. Dylan is the first American to get the prize in more than 20 years. He's supposed to show up to receive the nearly $1 million in Stockholm on December 10th. That is Alfred Nobel's birthday. Nobel, of course, invented dynamite. Several writers have called on Dylan to turn the Nobel Prize down, which Jean-Paul Sartre did in 1964. There is no truth to the rumor that Philip Roth is the leader of the movement for Dylan to turn down the Nobel Prize in the hopes that he will be awarded it himself. In other news, Jacob Neusner, a religious historian of enormous productivity, one of the world's foremost scholars of Jewish rabbinical texts, died last week at age 84. Neusner gave new meaning to the word prolific. A Life of Yochanan ben Zakkai, his 1962 study of one of the most important Jewish sages, was the beginning of an astonishing scholarly career. Over the next 50 years, he published more than 900 books devoted to history, source analysis, comparative religion, and legal theory. It often seemed, when I was in the library of Hebrew Union College as a rabbinic student, that a new Neusner volume arrived every week. Some of them seem more like chapters and books, but here they came. Neusner's editions of the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud run to more than 50 volumes. Jewish scholar Aaron W. Hughes called him the most important American-born Jewish thinker this country has produced. Jacob Neusner was instrumental in bringing the study of rabbinical text into non-religious educational institutions, universities. He courted controversy by asserting that multiple Judaisms arising from local conditions coexisted after the fall of the Second Temple in 70 CE. He put forth his thesis in Judaism, The Evidence of the Mishnah, which religious scholar Jonathan Z. Smith called a Copernican revolution in rabbinical studies. Professor Neusner was part of every significant American Jewish controversy since World War II, said Shaul Magid, professor of Jewish and religious studies at Indiana University and a past guest of Too Jewish. Neusner regarded Jews not as the chosen people, but simply as one religious and ethnic group among many.
Neusner's interest in comparative religion and interfaith understanding led him to write several books on Christianity, notably The Bible and Us, A Priest and a Rabbi Read Scripture Together with Andrew Greeley, and A Rabbi Talks with Jesus with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI, called by far the most important book for the Jewish-Christian dialogue in the last decade. May Professor Jacob Neusner rest now in peace. That's the Two Jewish News of Jews Round the World. We are so pleased to welcome back the Two Jewish, our guest this morning, Neshama Karlbach. She's an extraordinary performer, songwriter, entertainer, and really spiritual presence as well. The daughter of the great troubadour, I don't know, charismatic Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach of blessed memory. She has a great deal of his talent and charisma herself. Neshama, you created or were co-creator on the Broadway show about your dad, Soul Doctor. Tell us what that experience was like.
Wow, how long is your show? That's a long... I have a few books in me about that experience.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, maybe we'll do the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch here. We'll do that shorter version. But...
And you know that joke is so appropriate because there's nothing Kitzur about the Shulchan Aruch. You know that.
Nothing at all, no.
Nothing at all. My father, who was the most divinely long-winded, beautiful human being, he would say to me, "Oh, you bless me to make it short."
You know, I'll tell you a story about your dad. I was in rabbinical school in Jerusalem, 91, 92, sometime then, the winter. And we went to go hear Shlomo Karlbach. We heard, you know, like you found out, oh, Shlomo Karlbach's going to be doing a performance. And it was in like the basement of this hotel. And we dressed in white shirts and black pants. So even though we were Reformed rabbinic students, we wanted to fit in because it was like all the yeshiva guys on their like one night out. I heard your dad do one song for 45 minutes and tell stories and just kind of work his way through it. And I can't imagine anybody, like Bruce Springsteen couldn't get away with that.
Wow.
But your dad did, and it was incredible. It was an amazing experience. Anyway, sorry. I
love that.
So I know what you mean about when your dad said, "Please, God, let me make it short."
He never did. Seriously.
45 minutes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Never happened. Never. So the Soul Doctor experience was wonderful. It was exciting. It was complicated. I really wanted, you know, the producers approached me at first to do a one-woman show because I do a class that I love very much where I talk about my father's life and sort of speak about what I think is the most influential and inspiring part of his life. And first we said, you know, we kind of made it like I was telling a story, and then we said, well, maybe just one actor, maybe just have the homeless guy, you know, that he spoke to, or maybe just have, you know, and by the time we turned around, it was a cast of thousands, obviously, and it became a bigger show, and then I stopped narrating it, and there was a Shlomo character, and it became way too long, as most Jewish things, you know, have the tendency to do. And it was about a decade of my life, and it was it was exhilarating, it was emotional. The experience of seeing my father on Broadway was so revelatory for me. The actor who played my father, Eric Anderson, is one of the most incredible human beings I've ever known. He's not Jewish, has a sparkle and a shine in him that is... I just feel like he knew my father, or that my father put a little chunk of himself, you know, over to Eric Anderson. And when he would come in and he wore that receding hair wig and the vest, he would be like, "You're staring at me again." It was like there was always a moment, and I was there for all the auditions and all that. I mean, I was just involved in at the theater constantly, every single show, where I literally felt my father. And he was just right there. And my children know him and speak about him. And Zadie Shlomo lives in our home because they had exposure to his energy in that musical. And I mean, I could cry telling you, when you lose somebody you love and they can't meet your children and you can't talk to them about so much, to actually feel them again, it just does not happen to people. And what a miracle. What a miracle it was that I was able to have that gift in my life. And so above all things, that was just, it was so profound. And just an exciting process to be a part of a Broadway. I mean, the actors, the talent, the choreographers, there was just so much special energy around the entire project.
So I want to ask a little tougher question. Mm-hmm. When you started singing your dad's songs in concert, you got a lot of resistance from the Orthodox community from which you came.
Yes.
Because Kol Isha Erva, the voice of a woman, is licentious, it says in the Talmud. And also, I think they didn't want anybody else to sing his songs except them. Mm-hmm. But tell us sort of how you kind of worked away from that.
You know, I've never really worked away from that. Mm. I think I just, it's like when someone dies, you just kind of accept that that kind of sucks. It's always a part of my life that really, I think inside of myself, this is actually, it's a powerful question for me. Inside my heart, I think the way I relate to God is always as an Orthodox Jew. I feel connected to the long-windedness. I feel connected to all the rituals, even the crazy ones. I feel connected to the way I was raised, to just to so much of what I grew up with as an Orthodox Jew. In terms of the community, I don't connect at all. And, you know, several years ago when I went to my first Reform Biennial, I was blown away because
they are amazing, I have to say.
Amazing.
And I saw you there, by the way.
You did. I was so happy to see you.
Yeah.
My eyes were opened. My heart was opened. I cried for 3 days. Rabbi Rick Jacobs just blows my mind that someone like him exists.
Another past guest of Too Jewish, I have to say.
Yes. There you go. You've covered us all.
We're trying.
I think he is just a magical person.
He's a very talented guy.
He's talented. He's deep and he gets it. And the audacious hospitality speech that I heard just transformed me, and I didn't know that there was Judaism like that. There was Judaism that was both connected to the divine and also just accepting of all people and all choices, and all, it doesn't matter, just the tent is open and you are welcome, and you're a woman, you're transgender, you're driving, you're walking, you're crawling, it doesn't matter. And my father was that, and his community never reflected the depth of who he was, and he fought his whole life to be the Jew that he was, both connected to God and to Torah and to history and ritual, and yet to be the open, liberal human being who loved and accepted everyone like he was.
Neshama, thank you for a wonderful visit here on Too Jewish. And you weren't too long.
Thank God. See, that already, it goes against my entire heritage and legacy.
Everything with the 3,800 years is fighting against you.
Right?
You can find out lots more about Neshama from neshamakarlbach.com, CARLEBACH.com. Come to the concert at the Fox. You can also hear her at Temple Emmanuel on Friday night.
With you.
With me at Shabbat
Yay.
Services, which are really
excited for that.
Me too.
Thanks,
and we'll see you soon.
Cannot wait. Love to everyone out there. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you so much. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest and get a final musical playout from, I know this will shock you, Neshama Karlbach.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday on Too Jewish. Our guest will be Rabbi Capers Fanay, the new chief rabbi of the International Israelite Board of Rabbis. And don't miss our guest this morning, singer-songwriter Neshama Karlbach. She'll be here in Tucson at Temple Emmanuel this coming Friday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., and then in concert at the Fox Theater with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir Saturday, October 29th. Call 520-327-4501 for tickets. Our playout this morning comes appropriately from Neshama Karlbach. It's the song Kiva Moed with the Green Pastures Baptist Church Choir. My friends, Chag Sameach, a happy conclusion to this long fall holiday season with Shmini Atzeret tomorrow morning and Simchat Torah tomorrow night. May you have a season of joy. and a Shavuot Tov, a good week and a week we pray of peace.
Sponsored by two Jewish radio programs, Tucson, Arizona.